Shalom, saints. Greetings to you once again. This day, I believe, it's a day of blessing for us and a wonderful day He has given to us to once again come before His presence and be blessed. Amen. So, I, Pastor Hubert from Mumbai, India, once again share with you the remaining thoughts of what we have been dwelling on, Israel's redemption. And I will try to put and summarize on all the six steps that what we would see. So we first saw how God, before He restores or before He begins to work in His house, He first actually reveals who is He. God is recognized. Then we see the next stage is what the revelation of sin is. God reveals why this condition has actually befallen us. It's because of our sin, because of our idolatry, iniquity, unfaithfulness to Him. And we see in Israel these things, the cities of Israel were destroyed and the people taken into captivity. It was because of their sin and ungodliness. And how they had been forsaken. They had forsaken the Lord, their God. And how God is now revealing this great sin and great unbelief to them. And once again, He's giving and He's gathering them. And the third part we saw was how God is restoring a nation. This nation that which was scattered throughout the world, He has gathered from all the different parts of the world and brought them to be once again as a nation. And as He has been dealing with them, He is restoring this Jewish identity and taking away every kind of captivity from them. And today we will look into it or introspect how all of these things, the redemption plan of God, how it is a perfect picture for the New Testament church that we are in today. So today's fourth point we would see, God is taking away all the nation's sin and shame. He is giving them a newer or higher grace. You know, at the time of Israel's redemption, the Jewish people will be dwelling in their own land. And the memory of their sin and shame over their unfaithfulness to God will have been removed forever. We will begin it by reading a small text in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'm reading from verse 28 to 30. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Remember this land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, and I am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. Amen and amen. We remember the words of Jeremiah, where he says in 16th chapter, in verse 14, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more said, the Lord liveth and brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the land where He had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. So we see here, this is not an ancient story. This is not something of the yesteryears during the days of Moses and how God delivered them and how He saved them. But this is our present situation. how they were driven and how they were led into different parts of the world, in different corners, and how God is now once again bringing them and settling them, establishing them as a nation, taking away every guilt and shame of their life, so that God begins to do a newer and a better work. In the 14th chapter of Ezekiel, we find the verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgression, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Now this is the promise of his new work that he's going to establish in the nation that he has gathered from all the different parts of the world. We likewise and similar see the condition of the church that has gone from one to another, from one ism to another, with vague ideas and all man-made teachings. The church has been so very polluted in their own transgression. But God is still showing his mercy. Just what he see in the book of Ezekiel that is concerning Israel is also concerning the church, in a parallel, that God is showering his mercy upon us. You know, when the church was the ebb of total devastation or annihilation, we see the church once again had a beautiful grace of God, where God used a prophet to restore to us once again in the mercies of God. And we have been gathered with such precious word and truth, where God was made known who he really is, what is his desire and the standard of holiness, what was his idea of bringing us back and establishing us into the one body of faith. And how now, though there may be so many Christians going through temptation, going through trials, difficulties, circumstances and situation, the church today has been mocked, criticized, laughed, scorned. But yet Paul is teaching us in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So be instant in season and even so in out of season. Whatever we go through, we got to be precise in our preaching, in our example, in our exhortations, in our testimonies, in all sort of situations, whether in suffering or in the teaching of a correct and a true doctrine. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, wherein he greatly rejoice, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, it may be a small season, a small portion of time, you greatly rejoice, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We are humans, and every believer is a human vessel, saved by the grace of God. We go through manifold temptation in this world, but yet when we come into the season of refreshing, though it may be a smaller season, but we need to greatly rejoice, though now for a season of time. So we do understand the Lord and his eyes are upon us. God's promises are admirable. What we read it in Ezekiel 36, 28 and 29, it's so wonderful. And he shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And he shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. These are some of the promises that God is once again provide a season of refreshing for his people. And we so see wonderfully in the church today. After so many hundreds of years, we have come to a stage where we come into this one body of faith where God has restored the joy and the abundance of His word and truth. And when He says, I will lay no famine upon you, there is not going to be a famine. There is so much abundance of revelation that God keeps providing. There will be no famine. But at the same time, this is a little season of refreshing. The book of Acts, as it states, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I would love to state here, though we face heavy persecution as a part of our Christian faith, there are certain things what the scripture teaches us, which is going to befall on every human being. There are three phases that strike every human: the phase of betrayal, the phase of death, the phase of darkness. We see this happened in the life of Jesus. He was betrayed, he was put to death. That was a dark phase that came, where his disciples and all his own deserted him. It so happened in Israel, they have been persecuted, tormented, killed, and vengeance is being poured out upon them because of their faith in that one true God. So we see, how are we supposed to overcome? If we are prayerless, we will certainly be a victim to all these tragedies of this world. All what we can do is to stay in prayer and be connected in prayer. When we are having this platform of daily devotion, certainly what a great blessing it is for people, those who are aloof, those who are disconnected, those who are detached away, who have nowhere to go, but they can find a solace in just listening to some voice of faith. And we do understand, we are in a prophetic age. A prophetic age which connects both to the past and to the present. This is an age of the unity of the army of God. The guilt, the sin, the shame, the unfaithfulness towards our God, that which has been sometimes as a past memory, God promises to take it away from us, to give us a new life, a new grace, and a new creature altogether. But we understand the flesh, the worst and the most difficult enemy is the flesh, who lives inside of us. There is no deliverance ministry that can get rid of that flesh out of us. There is no surgery that can surgically remove that from us. There is no pill that can squash that is in us. Even fasting cannot get rid of it. He is the traitor who is in the relationship with the demon outside. And that's what we see, that the Jewish people were so beautifully and marvelously led by the Lord, they were victim because of the traitor that was dwelling inside of them, who is having a relationship with the demons outside. So also the church condition, my brothers and sisters. The best of people, like the Bible says, how are the mighty fallen? We have to be very, very, very careful that this enemy that dwelleth within the flesh, we may be able to overcome, because it is the promise of God. It's something that we stick to. Whether you stick onto the promise of God and believe His word for this age, the message of the hour, or you just cling to the flesh and get ourselves deceived and totally forsaken. God has spoken and He said, I will take away the guilt and the shame and all kind of unfaithfulness, and God will have it removed altogether. And I believe we understand this portion, we understand this precious grace that God has bestowed upon us, and the awareness that we come to it. May God bless you. May He give you grace and may cause you to understand we are not alone. We have been united. We have been brought together. God has cleansed us. And moreover, this is a cleansing within. May we learn to be a new people, a people that would live for the glory of His name. God bless you, saints. That is for today, and we see the remaining portion tomorrow. May His word richly bless you all. God bless you. Praise the Lord.